Hey, welcome back. We are now up to Module 2, Public Cloud Storage with Azure. So what we're going to be looking at in this particular module is specifically how storage works in the cloud, in the public cloud, in Microsoft Azure, and we'll then do a bit of a demo taking you on a whistle-stop tour of how we can interact with our storage accounts within that particular portal. So starting off with storage in the cloud, I guess one of the things we need to think about is first getting a bit of an understanding as to why cloud makes for such a great storage option. And a typical organization increases their data storage by around about 50 to 60% every year. And this really comes from a number of different sources, but IDC is one particular one that's been talking in this fashion. And only a small portion of that data is frequently accessed or even frequently used. So using purely on-premises storage like SAN or NAS solutions for that data is really expensive. Forrester did a study and that placed a cost of around about $95 per gig of data per year for an on-premises SAN solution, which is around about four times the cost of putting a gigabyte of data in the cloud. Of course, not all data can be put in the cloud for performance or compliance reasons, but where you can, using Microsoft Azure for all backup and archive data, as well as less frequently accessed primary data, makes a great business case. Let's now understand the Microsoft Azure storage system and some of its salient features. Treat Microsoft Azure as a giant hard drive. Why do we call it a giant? Well, Microsoft Azure storage has over 4 trillion objects. 4 trillion objects. It processes an average of 270,000 requests per second and reaches peaks of 880,000 kilobytes of requests per second. Now just think about those numbers for a moment. That is quite amazing. In fact, Microsoft Azure Blob Storage is actually the topmost rated by an Asuni Cloud Storage Report, and this ranking is based on a number of factors like read-write speeds, availability, as well as performance metrics. So, the Microsoft Azure storage services provide storage for binary and text data, messages, as well as structured data inside Windows Azure. It's scalable, it's durable, it's available, low cost, and is accessible via RESTful web services. Geo-redundant storage provides the highest level of storage durability by seamlessly replicating our data to a secondary location within the same region. Locally redundant storage provides highly durable and available storage within a single location, and Microsoft monitors the service. It provides patches, we handle scaling, and does all the other work needed to keep the service available. The Microsoft Azure storage services also provide storage for binary and text data, as we said before, as well as messages and structured data. Now, if we look at these services that are available to us, storage is actually broken up into a number of different services. Firstly, we have Microsoft Azure Blobs. So the Blob service is all about storing binary as well as text data. So we're thinking about really big files, things like VHDs, etc. We next have the queue service, and the queue service is used for storing messages that may be accessed by a client, such as persistent async messaging, enqueue and dequeue. We also have the table service for structured storage of non-relational data, and we have Windows Azure drives for mounting an NTFS volume accessible to code running in your Windows Azure service. And programmatic access to the Blob, queue and table services is available by the Windows Azure Managed Library and the Windows Azure Storage Services REST API. So in terms of storing your data, we make 3 copies of data for durability and availability. So if a rack or a server goes down, your data is available and accessible, and we provide a 99.9% SLA for all of our storage capabilities. Microsoft Azure Storage is the underpinning to everything in Azure that requires storage. The Microsoft Azure Storage System provides a solid, robust data platform for different services that make use of it, such as blobs, tables, and drives. As I said before, the Blob service is all about storing those large amounts of unstructured data that can be accessed from anywhere in the world via HTTP or HTTPS. A single blob can be hundreds of gigabytes in size, and a single storage account can contain up to 100 terabytes of blobs. Common uses of this blob storage include serving images or documents directly to a browser, storing files for distributed access, streaming video and audio, performing secure backup and even disaster recovery. Storing data for analysis by an on-premises or Windows Azure hosted service is something that we can do as well. When we look at the table side of things, that's a NoSQL data store, which is ideal for storing structured and non-relational data. And common uses of the table service include storing terabytes of structured data, capable of serving web-scale applications, or storing data sets that don't require a full-fledged regional DB. Drives are what get attached to VMs, and they automatically provide the same durability and availability. Now, we talked before about the fact that whenever you put any data into Microsoft Azure Storage, we're taking three copies of that data. But we also deal with geo-replication. Geo-replication is where we asynchronously copy data to another data center that's at least 400 miles away. So you can be sure that every piece of data that you store in the Azure blob is available as well as protected against regional disasters, which is why we're calling this geo-replication. Another thing that's nice about the Microsoft Azure Storage solution is that we have support for continuous storage geo-replication. So what this means is whenever you save something in the storage system, in the background we can automatically replicate the data to another data center within the same data center region. We guarantee that those data centers are at least 400 miles apart, so that in the case of a natural disaster or a complete data center failure, you can be ensured that a copy of your data exists somewhere else. We provide you this as a single checkbox option when provisioning storage, and we automatically enable it by default. And you can turn it off if there's policy reasons as to why you wouldn't want it enabled. And that could be something like data sovereignty that you're worried about. The next few slides to show us another view of that capability. So one of the really cool things we're doing here is, as you can see, what we've got is a virtual machine here, and we've replicated the contents of its VHD across to three different racks. As you can see, when something goes wrong there, we automatically take another copy of that and put it down on a drive that is completely okay. If we look at the continuous storage geo-replication, you'll see again that we're continually replicating that data between our data centers so that in the event that you do lose an entire data center, then at least a copy of your data is available somewhere. So why don't we have a bit of a drill down into the way this looks inside the administrative tool. Let's have a bit of a play with some of those storage capabilities. Let's create some blob storage. Let's see how we can access that from other areas. Let's see how we can attach extra drives to a virtual machine that we're storing inside that blob storage. Okay, we are back in the Microsoft Azure admin portal. Now, for this particular demonstration, I'm going to take the role of an IT professional and how they might interact with Windows Azure Storage. After you've seen this particular demonstration and finished the PowerPoint presentation, we're going to be directing you to a hands-on lab which takes you into the role of a developer and how a developer might work with Azure Blob Storage or even Azure Table Storage when they're actually developing an application. But for us right now, from the IT Pro side of things, how might we work in with this? Well, what we can see here is I have at the moment a number of virtual machines, one, a cloud service, and I also have a storage account. And if we go and look at our virtual machines, you'll see that what they do is basically store their assets, especially their VHD files, within that storage account itself. Now, if I need to create a new storage account, what I can do is choose New, choose Data Services, choose Storage, and do a quick create of a storage account. And this will allow me to put in, let's say, Maca VHD Storage as my URL, which then goes to core.windows.net, because I've accidentally put in a couple of capitals there, which it doesn't like. I'll choose my location, which in this case will be, let's say, West US. And I'll choose whether or not to make my storage geo-redundant, read-only geo-redundant, or locally redundant. Now, this is just going to be storing a VHD for a machine that I don't really care about, so I'm just going to make it locally redundant. And if you remember correctly from the presentation, locally redundant means we're taking three copies of that particular data, and we're ensuring that they are within the same data center, so we can quickly get your data back in the event of some kind of corruption. So what we'll do is we'll create that storage account very quickly, and as you can see, it goes and creates that. Now, here's one we prepared earlier. If we go and have a look at our storage account here and hit the dashboard, you can get a bit of information about what is currently going on in this environment. And you'll notice right now that we haven't actually configured monitoring for this particular storage account. So we don't really know the reads and writes that are happening in that particular storage account. Now, this is probably something we want to know about. So one of the first things we'll want to do for our storage account is go in here to the configure section and make some decisions as to what we want to do. you'll notice by default that monitoring is off and logging is off as well. And this is really something you don't particularly want to do unless you're developing an application or needing to get an idea of why you might be getting some kind of slowdown or some kind of inefficiency in reads and writes out of your storage. So what I can do is I can choose to turn on either minimal or verbose monitoring for my blobs, my tables, and my queues. And I can also determine how many days worth of retention I want to have for that particular data. So we'll just leave that in an ephemeral state, and we'll move down and we'll make a decision as to whether or not we need any logging. Now, I don't need any logging for that, so what I'm going to do is save that now, and we now have monitoring turned on. So if we go back to our monitor section here, you'll see that we have a number of metrics we're looking at, things like availability. So is our blob storage available, our table storage available, et cetera, et cetera. Looking at the total number of requests that have come in here. And if we add some more metrics in play, like so, we can choose different metrics to add in to this particular graph for blobs, tables, as well as queues. And in just a moment, that will finish loading, and we should get an idea of some of the other aspects of monitoring that we can turn on for this particular storage account. Just double check what happened there and go back to monitor. Add those metrics, and there we go. As you can see, under blobs here, there are a number of different metrics that we can load up, and I'm certainly not going to load all of them. But just like you would monitor a hard drive on a particularly important server and get an idea of the storage subsystem performance of your SANI and NAS, then we can do exactly the same thing here with our Microsoft Azure storage services. Things like capacity monitoring, things like container counts and network errors, things like SAS authorization errors and so on and so forth. So all of these things can be added to the in-browser monitoring capability. All right, what I'd like to do now is show you how an IT pro might utilize their blob storage to be able to create another virtual hard disk and attach it to a virtual machine. So what we'll do is we'll go back now to our all items section. And you can see here I have a virtual machine. It's my Windows 8.1 virtual machine that I'm using as part of my MSDN subscription. And what I'll do is I'll just go into that like so, and I'll hit configure. And we'll have a bit of a look at some of the things that we can play around with. We'll just go back to the dashboard now. We'll choose attach, and we'll choose to attach an empty disk. Now, when I choose to attach an empty disk, the first thing I need to determine is what storage location to put that in. And what it's doing is it's finding the blob container that contains the parent VHD file that actually built this particular virtual machine. I can choose to put in a file name of the VHD that I want to create. This can be anything I like, but of course, we automatically create one for you with some trailing unique characters to ensure that we don't collide with anything else that's inside blob storage at any one particular time. And now we can choose the size that we want. So maybe this is something I need a particularly large disk for. Maybe I want to store some particularly important files, and I'm going to make it 100 gig in size. And we can then determine what we're doing with our host cache preferences. Is this a read-write or a read-only disk? And that will determine, you know, where we place this on the storage subsystem for the purposes of getting, you know, faster read access, faster write access. So we'll click OK. And as you can see, we're now attaching this empty disk to this virtual machine. Now, this virtual machine is currently in the off position. So when I bring this back up, obviously we're not going to see that particular hard disk immediately. What we're going to need to do, however, is turn that on, go into computer management, and then rescan via disk management to find that new hard drive that we've added to this particular machine. So as you can see, we're currently updating the virtual machine. If we open up our section here, we can see that it's still attaching that disk. And effectively what we're doing is we're building an empty VHD file. Even though I've told it to be 100 gigabytes in size, it is, of course, being utilized as a dynamically expanding disk. So in its initial implementation, it's actually very small and can build in total size to 100 gigabytes. Now you can see that we've started our virtual machine now. So once our virtual machine has started, we should be able to connect to that virtual machine via remote desktop connection and then jump in there and see that brand new hard drive and start utilizing it as though it was attached to the local machine. We'll just check that. As you can see, we're still starting the virtual machine. It shouldn't take too long. It's Windows 8.1, as you all know. Windows 8.1 boots up in a flash, so shouldn't take too long at all. You can see the connect button has now become available to me, so I might just hit that connect button and try this one out. As you can see, trying to initiate the remote connection, we haven't been prompted for authentication yet, so we're probably still in process of finalizing that boot up. So we will allow that to occur. And as we can see, our machine has now fully set itself up. So we're going to try and connect to that machine now. You'll see that up comes the RDP again, as it did before, and now we're being asked for authentication. So we'll stick in our credentials and we will connect to our Windows 8.1 machine with a new disk attached. So let's see what we get when we connect. As you can see, we're securing the remote connection. Generally means we're getting pretty close to logging in. And here we go. As you can see, logging in now. Beautiful Windows 8.1 login experience that it is, and we're in. Okay, I'll find those PCs, why not? And we'll open up our File Explorer. And as you can see, no new disk as yet. So what we're going to do now is we'll just jump onto our computer management, type it correctly. Go into our administrative tools. Open up computer management. And then go into disk management once that opens up. So if we go into our disk management section here, we should see in just a moment that we have a new disk connected to this machine. Just waiting for that to come up. Finishing off its final parts of its boot up. And as you can see, the new disk is available. I now just simply need to initialize that. My disk is online. Create myself a full, simple volume of 100 gig in size. Format that. And then, as you can see, we now have effectively a brand new disk available that's coming directly from Azure Storage. Let's just refresh that. Just make sure that's coming through. Hasn't finished yet, still formatting, as you can see. And now we have a healthy volume. And there you go. All coming out of Windows Azure Blob Storage. Okay, so that takes us to the end of Module 2. As we said before, you have a number of different resources available to you at the TechNet Eval Center, Virtual Labs, and MVA. Keep coming back for more. We'll be right back with Module 3.